Okay, we're on Daf Memchet today. So I'll begin from the Mishnah, four lines from the top on Memchet Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? So the Mishnah, again, at the beginning of the Perek, we quoted a Mishnah that said how many days everything, this is on Daf Mem Beis. So the Mishnah said, among other things, that, where is it? The Hallel v'Hasimcha Shmona, that Hallel and Simcha, which we'll assume Simcha is, are 8 days. So here the Mishnah elaborates on that. Manitin ha halel ba simcha shmona. Halel means the recitation of halel, and simcha would be bringing the shalmei simcha, or a korbano that a person brings and eats with his family, meat. The shalmei simcha. Halel ba simcha shmona are 8 days. Ketzad l'meid shechayav adam ba halel ba simcha chod yom tov ha'achron shel chag shar kol yimot ha'chag. In other words, the Mishnah is teaching us, the Mishnah itself is explaining the Mishnah, that a person is obligated to recite Hallel, full Hallel each day of Sukkot, and also Simcha, each day I'm obligated to eat the meat of the korbanot of the Shalmei Simcha, each day of the Yantiv. And Kvod Yantiv, I wasn't sure exactly how that would fit in. Kvod Yantiv is, usually we say it's like getting ready with the meat and things like that, but I'm not exactly sure about the relationship here because there's a din also on Kvod Shabbos as well. Kvod Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag Shar Kli Matzah. The last day, Shmini Atzeret, just like all the other days of the holiday. All right. Let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Benani Milay, where do I know this halacha that Shmini Atzeret is a chiyuv b'simcha?" So if you look at the Rashi points out, look at the Rashi, the eighth narrow line in Rashi. "Benani Milay, the Shmini chayuv b'simcha, the halotzi be'behedya." It doesn't say explicitly that there is Simcha by Shmini Atzeret. It just says, "Elo b'shvat me'achad d'chiv patas tukot ha'selacha v'samach le'i v'samach le'v'chagecha." It says, "Chag tukot ha'selacha," and then it says, "V'samach ta'v'chagecha," but it doesn't say explicitly it's a chiv Simcha on Shmini Atzeret. So back to the Gemara, we're on line 5 on Memchet Amud Aleph. He says, "The Tam Rabbanan v'yita ach sameach." So the pasuk says that you should be ach sameach l'rabo leli yom tova achron. So the Gemara takes it that extra phrase bayita ach sameach. The word ach is teaching me that the leli yom tova achron, which is shmini atzeret, is also a chiyuv simcha. So if I'm chayiv and simcha at night, kal vachomer during the day, because the night is like the less serious part of the yantiv, and that's the way. Rabbi Simon Wolf was mentioning that thing this year. Oh, einu leli yom tova rishon. Maybe Ach Sameach is to teach me that on the first day of Yantiv, I'm chayav with it. Now, when it sits the first day of Yantiv, so that would be that I'd have to bring a korban on Erev Yantiv. In other words, if it's Leil Yom Tov Rishon, I would have to bring the Shalmei Simcha on Erev Yantiv to have meat to eat that night. That would be the way it would work. So maybe it's Leil Yom Tov Rishon. So we have this Pasuk, Ach. In other words, we know there's a mitzvah to be Mesameach, the Shivat Yimei Sukkot. That we got. And then we have this ach. So we have two candidates for a ribui. And the Gemara asks, ach is usually a miyitz, but think of that right now as a ribui. So we're adding on a little bit to the Shivat Yimei Simcha for Sukkot. So we have two candidates. Candidate one is Leila Yom Tov Achron, Shmini Atzeret. Candidate two is Leila Yom Tov Rishon, because on the first night of Yantiv, I don't have a chance to bring the Shalmei Simcha. So I have to bring Shalmei Simcha on Erev Yantiv. So the Gemara says, "Shumer ach chaleik." When it says "ach chaleik," means that we're gonna limit it. So the Gemara says, "So Omara itla wrote leila yom tov ba'achron lotzi leila yom tov rishon." So how did you figure out that the one I'm going to include is leila yom tov ba'achron and I'm going to exclude yom tov rishon? Marbani leila yom tov ba'achron sheish simcha lefanav. It makes more sense that Zachiv on Lil Yom Tov Achron is some chayiv in the days before it. So it kind of fits in with the pattern. Motzini Lil Yom Tov Rishon, she ain't simcha lefanav. Lil Yom Tov Rishon, there's no simcha before it. Now, there's a gra, and they mentioned this in the art school, but it's quoted around. I remember Lerner spoke about this once as well. So the gra says, how can that mean to create a mitzvah simcha? Ach is usually might. So the Gra says it means that during Sukkot, you have a mitzvah of sukkah, lulav, everything else. And then Ach is saying, a day is going to come, we're not going to have the mitzvah of lulav, you're not going to have the mitzvah of sukkah, But you have what remains, which is the mitzvah of simcha. In other words, one of those mitzvah, you have the remaining mitzvah of simcha. So that's ach, like chalek, that's the way the Gra understands. The ach is a limitation. In other words, saying the other mitzvot are held back, but you're left with simcha, you're left with simcha. So the Gemara's maskana is that there is, let's see the Rashi on this, and then we'll talk for a minute, okay? So let's take a look at the one, Rabot Leila Yom Tov Ba'achron, okay? He says, L'simcha shalafanav, L'kolo im shivar yamim, she's bashlami b'shviim. The teacher says an obligation for a person to bring a korban shalamim on the seventh day of Sukkot, on Hoshana Rabbah, k'dila kol el shmini. So in order to be able to eat on the night, on that evening, the high sameach l'mayat came into k'tiv l'yelmi nevi samachta b'chagecha. So, b'hayita ach sameach. What is that teaching me? B'hayita ach sameach. Ella, you know, I hate to bother you, Yosef. You feel like getting me a chumash, I'm so sorry. Okay, thank you so much. Ella, there's one I left crosswise on the one from last night. El Rabot Simcha Leil Shmini. So it's to teach us, thank you very much, thank you. So it's to teach us that there's a mitzvah Simcha on Leil Shmini Atzeret. Came into Trabi Leil Yom Tov Achron Shu Tafel. So once he teaches me there's a mitzvah at night, which is like the Tafel is not the Ikar, like the secondary level. Kavachomer Yom Shu Ikar Shechayiv Simcha. So certainly the day is Chayiv Simcha. Ushar Leilot Tzrichi Ribuyei. The other nights, I don't need to have a ribui. The amim afilu leilo b'mashma. If it says shivat yamim, that means days and nights. Ki d'rabinim gabi sukkah. B'chi yitzrich leilo yom tova achron yitzrich. The eno b'chlal shiva. B'akorcha leilo itrabi shu samach l'shivat yamim dikra. So it makes sense that what we're adding on, tacking on, is the night. That's close to the 7 days. B'yom mati b'kavachomer. The day comes to the kavachomer. So he's saying that there's a limud. There's an extra phrase, Vayita Ach Sameach. It says, you should be happy for 7 days, then Vayita Ach Sameach, an extra phrase. So that extra phrase is teaching me there's an additional period that I'm going to be Sameach. And the Gemara determines that extra period is the night of Shmini Atzeret. And once I know the night of Shmini Atzeret, come home and I know the day of Shmini Atzeret. Va'ashminin shebishlamim nizbachim b'chag sukkot, yismechu b'leil shmini, yishenu yicholak mi b'layla. So the Torah is teaching me that korbanot I'll bring on Hoshana Rabbah, shlam you can eat for 2 days and one night. So I'll bring the korbanot on Hoshana Rabbah and I'll have meat to eat that night. Okay, so that's where the Gemara is going with that. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Which one?
How come you said that the night is less serious than the day when the kiddush you say at night is a doraita and the kiddush you say during the day is a derabbanan?
Well, that's true with Kiddush, but like Chazal teach us, like one example is Kvod Yom Kvodum L'Kvod Laila. I don't know if we think about it this way. Like the meal during the day is more chashuv of the two meals. In other words,
is that true? I never knew that.
Well, now you know it. Anyway, right. In other words, that's by Shabbos, but it would be true by Yantiv as well. In other words, so the Ikar of the Yantiv is the day, and the night is the Tafel. Kiddush, it's just you're entering in the new day. So yeah, the Chiyuv clicks in to say Kiddush, but the Ikar of the day is really daytime. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let me just look at these psukim and then we'll move on. I just want to find the psukim and Chumash. So the psukim were in Yom Tov Zayin Re'eh. Let me see. What is it? Okay, thank you. So it says, this verse says, V'samachta b'chagecha, then Shabbat yimim t'chog l'shem l'kech l'shem k'archem, you'll have 7 days, and then Vahagita Ach Sameach. That's what he's saying. In other words, the Samachta Bechagecha, and then the 7 days, and then tacked on Vahagita Ach Sameach. Okay. So, the Samachta Bechagecha is Pasuk Yudalid. Then Pasuk Tevav is Shabbat Nim Tachog Lashem Lokecha, Bokomashikar. That's Pasuk Tevav. So, we assume those two would go together. The Samachta Bechagecha, and Shabbat Yom Tachog. So those you have mitzvah of 7 days. I mean, the Rashi says 7 days means the nights as well. And then he says, Vayita Ach Sameach. All right. That's it. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay? All right, let's see the next Mishnah. Okay, so again, we're elaborating on the Mishnah that we had on Daf Mem Beis earlier. So the next phrase in the Mishnah was that Sukkah b'nisach hamayim shiva. The mitzvah sukkah and nisach hamayim is the water libation is 7 days. So it means there's a mitzvah to dwell in the sukkah for 7 days. And then there's another mitzvah, which we know we went through earlier in the Masechta, Lachol Moshe Sinai, or according to Abba Shul, it's based on the pasuk Arve Nachal. Not Arve Nachal, I made a mistake. I scratched it, that was by the Arabo. So, but the Nisach HaMayim, the Arve Mazim that the Gemara has, there's an extra Mem Yud Mem, but it's basically Alach L'Moshe Sinai that we do the water libation, the base of Mikdash, during the 7 days of Sukkot. Normally we have a wine libation with the Korbanot, but on Sukkot we also have a water libation. And again, on Sukkot, we don't need Malamayim. On Sukkot, we're judged for the water we'll have during the year. So let's take a look. So the Mishnah says, Manitin, Sukkah Shiva. The Sukkah is the mitzvah 7 days. Ketzad, Gamar Mi Le'chol. Now he's talking about on Hoshana Rabbah. Let's say, I'm going to explain, you're in Eretz Israel, and now it's Hoshana Rabbah, which is the last day of Sukkot. Gamar Mi Le'chol, Lo Yatir Sukkato. He shouldn't disassemble his Sukkah. He says, because if he wants to eat or sleep between now and nightfall, he's got to go into the Sukkah. So chill out with the Sukkah. Aval, but he can take the kelim again. Morid, we saw earlier in the Masechta that according to one pshat that they would build the sukkahs on the roof. So morid, you're taking the kelim back into the house. That's the way to explain it. So morid kelim in a mincha l'mala, from mincha l'mala, you bring the kelim, the vessels you have in the sukkah, nikvod yom tovachon shulchad. Because out of kvod yom tov, you're going to shmini atzeret, so I got to prepare for yantiv, and I got to bring the kelim in for yantiv. All right. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that in addition to preparing for Yantiv, there's another reason why we want to take Kalim out of the Sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah, and that is in case I want to eat in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, and sometimes a person just, you know, wants to eat there for comfort, so it shouldn't be nearer to Mosif. It shouldn't be nearer that he's Mosif on the mitzvah, the Torah. So I want to do things to indicate I'm doing it differently than I would do during Sukkot. In other words, if this is clearly different because I'm already taking the kelim out of there. So the Gemara says, "Ain lo kelim lo rid mahu." What is it? What if he doesn't have any? Is there a? Okay. "Ain lo kelim lo rid mahu." What if he doesn't have any kelim to take down? So the Gemara says, "Ain lo kelim elikish tamish shmonish tamish." So what is he using to subsist? You know, to exist in that sukkah. Ella ainu makom l'rid kelim mahu. What if he has no place to bring them to? Meaning, I don't know, he has no place he's renting. Right, that's it. He's in this sukkah and then no place to go to. So, right. So again, the issue is going to be, if you look at Rashi, it's around the eighth wide line of Rashi. The first word is my yaselochi yashenu mosif on the mitzvah sukkah. Shmoni Yamim. So I'm explaining that he's in Eretz Israel. So what can he do to indicate that if he's continuing to eat the sukkah, he's not like Moses on the mitzvah of the Torah. I have no place to go. So I'm going to continue eating the sukkah, but I want it to be nearer like a Moses on the mitzvah of the Torah, because the Torah is just 7 days. So what should I do? So back in the Gemara, so Reb Chiya answers this question on Sad Ashi. Reb Chiya bar Ashi Amar, Pochet bar Arba. Reb Chiya bar Ashi says that he'll Pasul the Gemara, he'll open up a space in the schach for tefachim. Now, then the Mepharshim asks why four tefachim, which would be three tefachim is enough to pasul, but if someone wants to say that he's actually taking pasul schach, so he needs four tefachim. But the point being, he'll pasul the sukkah to be yosei the mitzvah, and that'll be clear. It's not the shame mitzvah. He's got a place to eat, but he's not being mosif on the mitzvah if it's pasul. He says, Rabbi Shubin Levi Amar, Madlik Baraner. Rabbi Shubin Levi says, a light, a lamp there. Now, lighting a lamp, if you remember early in the Gemara, we learned that a person is not in a small sukkah, a person is not supposed to light a lamp. And I think I meant to look up more today, but we remember we're afraid you're going to burn down the whole place. Anyway, yeah, we had it. So the Gemara says, Malik Baraner, the low plea, there's no machloket between those two explanations, halan v'halahu. One is for us in Bnei Babel, and one is for the people in Eretz Yisrael. So here in Babel, one second, let's take a look at Rashi. If you look at Rashi, Halan, Libnei Babel, Shashmi Shalem Safek Shpi, Lokim Lu Bekvi Diarcha, Malik Baraner, Willo Yiv Khatana Vivaslan, Vishrich Lusheba Makar. So the so he wants to say for Bnei Babel, so Shmini Atzeret is the Safek, the seventh day of Sukkot. Yeah, so we don't want to pass on the Sukkah, so I'll be Madlik the Nair, and to indicate that, you know, that it's not Sukkot. Yeah, that's weird. For Halahu, the Nair Israel, the Kimlu Bikri, the Archa, will Yafi Sukkah, Mishmini Pote. But the people in Eretz Israel, they'll mess up the Schach to destroy the Sukkah. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, a lot of Ahu.
So the Gemara before he makes Kiddush at night.
For which he's talking. For
in Eretz Israel, he wants to remove from his path.
Yeah. So he'll do that. So presumably, I would do it before Yantar. So before Yantar, he'll destroy. He'll go. I think, but Muksa for certain purposes. I don't know if he did like to remove some of the stuff. I don't know if it's necessary to remove the stuff. It's Muksa. I'm not allowed to use it for any other purpose. But I assume that he'll be able to, you know, move the stuff over. I'll take a look in a minute. So the Gemara says, "Atina sukkah kana." So if it's a small sukkah, you got it. I got it. The nair will work. He says, "Gedolama yiklami." What is a large sukkah? So there, I'm allowed to light a candle in it. So d'ma'ayil b'mani mechla, he'll bring like his dirty eating vessels in. D'amarav b'mani mechla bar mechalalta, b'mani mishtiyah b'mechalalta. In other words, he's going to do an action that's inconsistent with the mitzvah of the sukkah. Okay, let me just take a look here, and then I'll open up for questions. Okay, let me just take a look what he says on some of your questions here. One second. So let's see, look. Right. No, but right. Okay. So it sounds like that both actions are going to be taken before the beginning of Yom Tov. This is the way it sounds like. He says, I'm reading footnote 20. Those who live outside of Eretz Israel continue to dwell in Shmini in Sukkot Shmini Atzeret. Accordingly, they cannot breach the Sukkot Erev Yom Tov, but this would defeat the purpose of eating them the next day. The issue for them, therefore, is only in a case in which they have no place in which to bring down their utensils for the ninth day of the holiday, so this Torah, and they must continue eating the sukkah then. What should they do to avoid the appearance of wrongdoing by Baal Tosif? They cannot very well breach the sukkah if on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon Levi therefore suggests they light a lamp in the sukkah. The sukkah a breach, on the other hand, applies to Eretz Israel. They will not be sitting in the sukkah Shemini Atzeret. They can breach the sukkah on Erev Yom Tov. So breaching the sukkah, they're going to do Erev Yom Tov. Now, with the lamp, though, for the people in the Chutz La'aretz, so when am I going to light the lamp there? So it sounds like I'm lighting the lamp, I guess, when... Lighting the lamp is showing it's not a sukkah anymore. Let's look at the Rashi again on that lighting the lamp. Let me see the Rashi once more. It's a tenth line. Halan, for us, L'bnei Babel, Shmi Shalom Safik Shvi, yes, sounds like he's going to light the candle on Hoshana Rabbah. In other words, to show, that's the way it sounds like the Gemara is saying, to show that he's not mosif on the mitzvah. From that Gemara, I've never heard of anybody doing that now, but that's where I need to take a look. I didn't think to even look at this halacha here. Bob Blue, thank you so much. Thank you very much, Yossi. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we can so far? Let me see what he says. Let's do this. Thank you. So here's what he says. If puts the aretz, sarif le sheba b'shmini, gemar min lechol b'yom hashmini, Morid kilav v'panam v'tam yimena. He says, on the eighth day, I'll take the kilav out. And in the makam, morid kilav, or say, look about the chini. In a chok bov v'neshu yamta, v'ayas in the hakeira. And v'tak v'panash sulanich v'anir, b'shar yamim, yani chenu bo. So here it sounds like he's leaving the candle there. It sounds like on the yamtiv. Let me take a look. It was topic in yanifo b'shmini, like after b'shmini. So the prima gadim is with supak. So you should put the candle there on the eighth day or the ninth day. B'shmini sabak shmini for the bidan. So more shleikis, but a mirror cover b'shmini. So it might be. In other words, from here it's coming out that I only need to do this the way the Mechaber is bringing it down. I only need to do this if I want to eat the sukkah on the ninth day, like you were asking me for on the other day. You said to eat in the sukkah on the ninth day. So the Mechaber sounds like if I want to eat in the sukkah and chutz the aretz on the ninth day, I should do something to indicate that it's not the same sukkah. So I can't destroy the sukkah on Yantiv because that would be surim to just take down the skak on the Yantiv. And I need to have a kosher for the first day Yantiv. So the Mechaber says, that I should take a candle and bring in the sukkah. It's machloket, do I bring it on the eighth day or the ninth day? So one second. Now then, let me see what he says here. He says, otherwise, I should bring the dirty dishes into the sukkah, so it's clear, and it's not consistent. My activity is not consistent with this regular sukkah. What on the ninth day? That's the way. It was machlok in the prima gadim, but I think it's clear it would be on the ninth. That's the way it makes more sense. In other words, the way we do it, I think we leave the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. We go into the house. You don't have to do anything because you're not using the sukkah every day. In other words, this is only for if I'm going to be. In other words, what can I do to avoid a problem if I want to eat in the sukkah after I no longer have to eat in the sukkah?
Bringing the dirty dishes a bizayon for the
yontif? So in Eretz Yisrael, if they want to eat in the sukkah on the eighth day, which would be Shmini Atzeret, you have to destroy the kasher of the sukkah. That's basically what it's coming out to. And in chutz la'aretz, we still need the sukkah to be kosher. So I have to do things that are inconsistent with what would normally be the din by a sukkah. So if it's a small sukkah, I could bring a lamp there, which I'm not allowed to do normally for sukkahs. But if it's a larger sukkah, so I should bring the dirty dishes in. Because the halakha is, I shouldn't keep dirty dishes in the sukkah. I should bring it into the house.
So, but isn't that a bizayon for the yontif that I'm celebrating?
I don't know what to tell you. This is what the halakha is coming out as. Okay.
You want to downgrade that.
All right. Let me do a little bit from the sheets, and then we'll see what goes on here. So he says it comes from the give and take of the Gemara on Memchet Amud Aleph, explained by the Rishonim. A resident of Eretz Yisrael should not eat in sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. Is Baal Tosi. Whereas says one must eat in sukkah because he has no other place to eat, circumvents the Easter Baal Tosi, making a four tefach gap in the stock just before the eve of Shmini Atzeret. Sitting in an invalid sukkah in Shmini Atzeret is not a violation of Baal Tosi. The Gemara offers a different recommendation for residents of Chutz La'aretz who are obligated to eat in sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, therefore cannot disqualify their sukkah before Shmini Atzeret. One suggestion is to bring soiled dishes or pots into the sukkah. By doing so, one demonstrates he's not sitting in the sukkah for the sake of the mitzvah, because during the yontif of sukkahs, it's forbidden to bring soiled dishes or pots in one sukkah. Rashi is understood by the Rush, is understood the opinion that this latter Gemara is referring to chutz la'aretz residents eating their sukkahs on Shmini. So it's a question how to touch up the Gemara. Is the Gemara talking about people in chutz la'aretz who are going to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, or people in chutz la'aretz who are going to eat in the sukkah on Simchas Torah? That's the question. So Rashi, according to one way, stands it that eat the sukkah in Atzeret, quite the sukkah in Atzeret. Nevertheless, Rashi holds concern about Tosif must be addressed. This is on a biblical level. The mitzvah sukkah lasts only 7 days. Therefore, to avoid a transgression of biblical Easter, Baal Tosif, even a chutz la'aretz resident, must demonstrate somehow he does not intend to fill the biblical mitzvah sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. That's one way to understand it. The Rush disagrees, arguing there's no concern for Baal Tosif for chutz la'aretz residents who eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, since they do so because of a safek that it might be the seventh day of Sukkot. Rather, explains the Rush, the Gemara is addressing a chutz la'aretz resident who, due to a lack of space, wishes to eat in the sukkah on the ninth day of Yantif, Simchas Torah. the individual does not have the option of circumventing Baal Tosif by disqualifying his sukkah before Simchas Torah, because he's forbidden to demolish the structure on Yantiv, i.e. Shmini Atzeret, after he finishes his meals there. Also, he cannot disqualify his sukkah prior to the onset of Shmini Atzeret, who's obligated to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. The Gemara is suggesting that to avoid a transgression of Baal Tosif, this individual must bring his soil dishes into the sukkah on Simchas Torah, not on Shmini Atzeret. Yeah, I think that's the easier way to understand it, that it's talking about, you know, a person Chutz Aretz who wants to eat on Simchas Torah in the sukkah, like your idea from the other day, Fern. Okay, and so what he's got to do something to indicate that he's not making an effort to fulfill the mitzvah sukkah. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? No, we ain't saying nothing. All right, okay, everybody good? Okay, let's see, we're going to go further in the Gemara now, okay? So we're 8 lines from the bottom, Amim Chedam Adala, 48a. Manitin, Nisa Chamayim Kesed. So we said in the Mishnah that Nisa Chamayim is 7 days. So Nisa Chamayim Kesed, Slokit Shel Zahav, Machzeket Shlosha Lugim Hayam Amali Min Ashilawach. There would be like this bowl, a flask, a golden flask that holds 3 Lugim. So 3 Lugim, usually we say like for Kiddush, we have a revit log, a quarter of a log. So this is 3 Lugim. So this would be for like 12 times larger than like a Kiddush cup. So 3 Lugim, Hayam Amali Min Ashilawach, would fill from the Shilawach. Shilawach is a spring near Yerushalayim. Gigil the Shar Hamayim, so there would be a procession. They get the Shar Hamayim, which is the gate that opens into the Azara, the base of Mekdash. Taku be Riyu Taku, the Tkiya Tru Tkiya. Alava Kevesh, the Kohen then takes the water and he goes up the ramp to the Mizbeah. Ufanala Smolo, and then he turns left. Now the Gemara is going to say, normally the Lacha is you always have to go to the right. If you remember, we spoke about this. But here's an exception. The Gemara will explain it. He's turning left. And the Gemara will explain why it's an exception, or the Rashi will explain why it's an exception. There were 2 silver bowls on the southwest corner of the Mizbeah. Reb Yehuda Omer shall sit on you. Reb Yehuda says they were really made of plaster, but they got blackened or darkened because of the wine. It looked like silver. I guess the silver, maybe, I don't know, it wasn't polished or something, but it had a darker tint to it. Umanu kavim, it had a hole in the bottom of these bowls. Turn page. Kimin shnei chotmim dakim, like 2 spouts. Echad me'uve v'echad dak, 1 wide, 1 thin. I'll spend a minute. Tishu shneim kal dvaracha. Now, there's not talking here between Rashi and Tosos, how to understand what the Gemara is talking about. And fortunately, we have our picture book. You didn't bring picture page book to the... Wait, which page?
142.
142, okay. So, the picture book, first, if you look at all the nice pictures, they have on page 141, the procession walking into the base of Mikdash. Everybody's very happy. It's Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Actually, if you look at picture on page 141, you see the Shar HaMayim there. And then the walking into the Azara, and then the Kohen has got the golden, and on the top picture, the golden bowl, and he just walked up the ramp, and now he's approaching those 2 sort of bowls on the southwest corner of the Mizbeah. Everybody see? In the golden flask is water, and he's approaching the 2 bowls. Now, if you look at the next picture, there's another Kohen who has wine at the same time. He's going to pour the wine into the other bowl. So, the way Rashi understands it, each bowl has a spout. You see the spout? The red is the wine, and the white is the water. So you have 2 spouts, and if you look in the picture, the spout for the wine is bigger than the spout for the water. Do you see that? The spout for the wine is bigger than the spout for the water, and then it all flows into this drain. I don't understand. It looks like a piece of cork there. I don't know what the cork is doing in the picture, but the I don't know what exactly that. We'll get to it. That's a different sheet. Okay. So the Gemara is going to explain that, you know, it's like blood is thicker than water. Here's wine is thicker than water. So you want them both to come down at the same time, to be completely at the same time. So the wine, which is thicker, needs a wider opening in order to all empty out at the same time. You got it? Right. Well, 2 Kohanim, since there are 2 Kohanim, I assume the only way to get up is the ramp. So I assume they're both going up the ramp. even though the other picture just showed one kohen. So the and then it's draining. Now, if you look at the next picture on the top of page 143, this is the sheet of the Balei Tosfot. The sheet of the Balei Tosfot is two bowls, and at the bottom of the bowls is a hole. And you see that one bowl has got a bigger hole, that's for the wine, and the other bowl has got a smaller hole, that's for the water. And the same idea, but it's just like not this whole thing with the spout and the hole the way Rashi has it, okay? So let's see back in the Gemara now. All right, so let's see. So on the top thing, so he says, one larger, one smaller. So they both finish at the same time. Ma'aravo shamayim. So the one to the west in the picture is the one with water, but that's closest to the Kodesh Kadashim is the Ma'aravo. So you see in the picture, the coin with left has got the water. So so Ma'aravo shamayim. Mizrako shel yayin, the one in the east is for the wine. Ira shomayim letoch shel yayin, b'shel yayin letoch shomayim. Let's say for some reason they made a mistake and they poured the wine in the water basin and they poured the water in the wine basin. Yatsa, so it's like, you know, it's yotze b'diyevet. Rabbi Yehuda omer say kol shiva. So Rabbi Yehuda says, we have this quoted, Rabbi Yehuda says they would use one log of water each of 8 days. Rabbi Yehuda is mechulik with the Tanakhama on two dinim. First, the Tanakhama holds they would take 3 logim of water, and Rabbi Yehuda holds 1 log of water. The Tanakhama holds they would do it for the 7 days of Sukkot. Rabbi Yehuda holds they would do it for 8 days, including Shmini Atzeret. Okay, now, the one who's doing the Nesachim with the water, they would say, raise your hand. I don't know who says it to him, but somebody would say to him, like, raise your hand. Once there was a Kohen who poured the water on his feet. Now, it means that we'll see in Rashi, they would stuk him. The stukim don't agree with the Torah Shabbat Peh. And so there was a Kohen who was a stuki, so he didn't agree with the Mitzvah Nisa Chamayim, so he poured the water on his feet. He didn't want to do the, you know, the Mitzvah the way it's in the Torah, the way we have it. Ragmu Kolam Be'etrogeim. And everybody stoned him with their Esrogim. They were not happy with him. Okay. Now, look at Rashi on the Hagbeh Yadcha around the 10th narrow line of Rashi. Shanira Pnemai B'Seifel, so it's clear that the water is going into the bowl. Lefisha Tztukim Eimodim B'Nisakamayim. The Tztukim don't acknowledge the Mitzvah B'Nisakamayim. Shapamachat Niseich Tztuki Echad Aramayim Raglav. Once the Tztuki, he poured the water on his feet. Okay, so back in the Gemara. He says, T'maasei B'chol T'achmaasei B'Shabbat. Now, we said, now unlike the other mitzvahs, we said, remember in the Mishnah, we said when it came to lulav, we said sometimes lulav is 6, sometimes it's 7. Then we said that with the arava, it's sometimes 6 and sometimes it's 7. But here, when it comes to nisuch hamayim, it's always 7 days. So back in the Gemara, so the Gemara says, k'maaseh b'chol kach maaseh b'shabbat. The way it was done during the week is the way that we do it on Shabbat. Elo shemamalim yerev Shabbat chavit shel zahav. On Erev Shabbat, he would fill a barrel, a golden barrel, she'ena mikudeshet min ha'shiloah. Now, we don't know this yet. The Gemara is going to explain that if it would be in Kli Mikudash, whatever is placed in Kli Mikudash becomes pasul belina. If it's left overnight, it becomes pasul. So they didn't want to have that, but they didn't want to be involved with carrying the water on Shabbat. So he's filling the water up before Shabbos, and then with a Kli Mikudeshet, umani chabalishka. And he leaves it in a lishka. It doesn't say which chamber he leaves it in, but he leaves it in a lishka. Nishbacha nigalta hayamamali min akiyur. Now, if lu yatsur, it got spilled or it was exposed, the water can't be exposed during the night. The Gemara will discuss this later on. We know we're afraid the snake and, you know, injecting venom in there. From Rashi later on, it seems like the shear will be off. Or is it our Rashi here? Maybe. He says, hayamamali min akiyur. So if all else fails, he would fill up the water from the cure. The cure is the water supply in the Beis HaMikdash. They would have this laver that would be lowered down. Water and wine that's exposed is past the gum is back. And the Gemara will discuss reasons for that soul. Okay, now, let's look just at the Rashi. It says, 1 second. I'll do the 2 Rashis, and that'll be it. He says, She'ena mekudeshet. Lo nidchan chal avodat mizbeach. The keli was not dedicated for avodat mizbeach. Shtei kedusha l'kli shari. The kaimelan kol kedusha samosha b'shikatan mikarashtan mikave elach avodatan mechanatan. So in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were anointed with King Kodesh. After that, it was used for the avodah. It's l'chino. The Gemara of Farish might tell Malim b'sheinu mekudesh. So the Gemara explain why. Hey, Malim min akiyur min amayim shetoch akiyur umei akiyur af pishinim shach v'hukdash l'kli shari mekadesh b'mav. Even though the kiyur is a kli shari and it is mekadesh l'mayim in the salam belita, the water would not become pasabelina to mishakin atomi ba'erev b'bor. They would lower the kiyur. Remember this? Somebody made a mukhni for the kiyor, so they would lower it into this pit. The Amar Peseta Yoma, Afhu Asamukhni the kiyor, Shemeshakin b'mukhni a kiyor, Shliyim Mav Nefsal Belina. Okay, one more Rashi. Shliyim Amayim Agulin Chulei Nitkala Haynu Tamad Demalim in a kiyor, V'lo Yom Nasek Mehen. Lefi Shliyim Amayim Agulin Pesul Gabi Uzbeach. Rashin Hashemah Shetamin Nachash. We're afraid that this a snake drank from it. Va'eres Meura Behen. His venom is mixed in with it. So I don't have the right shear. I have a mixture of snake venom and water. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far in the Mishnah? Wait, you mean on Friday, you mean? On Friday when they need water. Yeah, so maybe they did take extra water, but it says... No. In other words, he's saying they took... Maybe they took... You know, need three lugim. Maybe they took 12 lugim. But they tell you if the thing spilled over or it was nitgala, then they used the cure, otherwise not. Okay, which one?
Yep. The story about the throwing the togim.
Right.
It was also in Yoma, the same story.
All right. Know? I don't remember, but it could be. I'll tell you in a minute.
The story of Josephus, the person that the Kohen was Alexander Yonah.
Right.
A lot of Jews lost their life.
Yeah, he mentions, here it says it was in Yom HaChavav, Yom HaChavav. Okay, all right, let's take a look back at the
door. He killed a lot of Jews that day.
All right, okay, let's take a look back at the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Menani Mili, where do we know that we do a Tekiah, true a Tekiah by She'ibat Mayim? It's Simchat Beit HaShaweva. So Amar of Eina, the Amar Kro, Usha'av the Mayim B'sason Mi B'gomer. It says you'll draw the water B'sason with happiness. And the word takes it that sason means equals tkiya through a tkiya. We're blowing it for a simcha. Now, hanau tre mine, there were these two minim, two heretics. Chachme sason, one's name was sason, but chachme simcha, one's name was simcha. Amarle sason, the simcha, sason sent to simcha, ana difta minach. I'm like superior to you. Dichtiv, sason v'simcha yasigu v'gomer. That the pasuk says they will achieve sason v'simcha. My name comes first. So I have, like, I'm a notch better than you. Amarle Simcha the Sason. Simcha said to Sason, Ana Adif Aminach, I'm more important than you. Dechtiv, Simcha v'Sason la'Yudim. It says in Esther, Simcha v'Sason la'Yudim. So I don't know what type of meaning they were, but they knew Tanakh, and that's what it's saying. So Amarle Sason the Simcha. So Sason said to Simcha, Chad Yom Shavkuch v'Shavyuch Parvanka. One day, everybody's going to leave you and make you like they said in the article, scout. With simcha, you will go forth. Meaning, you're going to be like the point man. Like you'll be more like the point man is usually the more vulnerable person. Rashi says, Parvanka, Ratzla Rutzlafanav, he says that find the drachim and go over the passages of water. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Amarle Simcha the Sason, Simcha said to Sason, Chad Yom Shavkuch, one day people are going to like drop you, Umalabach Maya. And the way Marsha understands it, use you to like be a, like the one who fills the water, which is obviously at the lower end of the social scale. Dechtiv, Usha'av to Mayim B'Sason. You'll draw water with Sason. Your name Sason means you'll use Sason to draw the water. All right, I don't know why the Gemara includes that whole dialogue between Sason and Simcha. No. The Gemara doesn't have things. That's not the way the Gemara works. Okay, let's
what's the difference between Sason and Simcha?
I don't know. All right, let's take a look back. Now there's another story with Amarle Ahu mina d'shmei Sasso and Rabbi Abahu. There was a min, I don't know if it's the same one, whose name was Sasso and sent to Rabbi Abahu. Now Rabbi Abahu, I know elsewhere in the Gemara, he has discussions with, it seems like, people who were early Christians. That's the way it seems like. I don't know if this is the case or not here. So Amalei Ahu mina d'shmei Sasso and Rabbi Abahu, Atiditu, the Tamaluli Mayim La'alma da'ati. In the future, you are going to fill water for me, the Chtiv, Usha'avta Mayim B'Sasson. Says you'll draw water bisason. In other words, he takes you'll draw water for sason. Amarle, lisason kidkaamar. He said if it would have said in the pasuk in Yeshaya ushaatamayim lisason, then you'd be correct. Hashtu dechiv bisason, you'll draw water bisason. Mashchedu gavra mashvin leguda umalina beimai. So it means they'll turn your skin into like a type of canteen or a satchel for the water and fill the water with your hide, that type of thing. So I don't know if that one, it might have been an early Christian type of conversation, especially talking about the Olam Abba, that could be an early Christian thing saying, my place in the world to come is assured, you're not, you're going to serve me, but I don't know. All right, that's that piece. All right, let's see further in the Gemara and we'll wrap it up. Okay, so now, we're two lines above where it gets wide. Alava Kevesh should have fled on the small level of police. So we said that the Kohen ascends the ramp and then makes a sharp left turn. So Tan Rabbanan, Kola Olin Mizbech, Olin Derech Yamin, and Makifim Yorgin Derech Small. So the Brisa says everybody who ascends the Mizbeach turns right and then goes around the Mizbeach like in counterclockwise fashion. He says, in other words, and Umakif and Yordan Derech Small, and then when they come down, they go Derech Small. It means it's on the one second. The small lobe on your toe. It's on the left side. Relative to when he ascended the ramp. When he ascended the ramp, so the way that's on that left, that's the way he comes down. Okay, let's take a look back in the Gemara. So he says, okay, who's got a nice picture? Artswell, okay. So he says, except for the following three things, there you're going to make a sharp left turn when you get to the top of the ramp. Sha'olin, they're small, the chosin al akev. So he says, ve'eluhain, nisuch amayim and nisuch hayayin. The people go for nisuch amayim and nisuch hayayin, they have to make a sharp left. So Rashi explains that we're afraid that the smoke from the Mizbeach is going to ruin the water and ruin the wine. So we don't want that. So if he's going to walk around the whole perimeter of the Mizbeach, it'll get like smoked out. So they make a sharp left turn to make it shorter. He says, V'olat ha'of sh'rab to b'mizrach. The olat ha'of, so he's got to do malik on the oaf. And the way Rashi explains it, again, that we're afraid the bird's going to die if he makes a sharp right turn from inhaling all that smoke. So he makes a sharp left turn. And again, the Olat Ov is normally the southeast corner, but if there's too many konim over there, and he sees there's too much traffic there, so he'll make a sharp left turn and go to the left. So, okay, let's take a look at the Rashi on this. Okay, if you look at the fourth wide line in Rashi, Chutzman Olat Shlosh Dvar, Manasim B'Keren Ma'aravit Romit, Shpon Der Svol Shem B'Rosh Mizbeach, Ponim L'Keren Ma'aravit Romit, Shismolo, so forth. He says, where the parentheses is. Shchita Kachim. Shchita Kachim is a name for Masechet Zvachim. It means Masechet Zvachim. Shchita Kachim. It's usually called Shchita, I think. All right, so that's it. Shchita Kachim. That's the way that the Rishon referred to it. He says, Mefarish Tama, Nisachim, Shema Yitashnu Bashana Maracha, Shekipu Saviv. He says, we're afraid that the Nisachim will get too smoked up. He says, "Shoteri malach mei ama yishbek kepa mizbeach." Ba'olat ha'ov shema tumut ba'ashan. We're afraid the bird is going to die from smoke inhalation. Okay, back upstairs in the Gemara, the third wide line. So we said that according to the Tana of the Mishnah, the two bowls were silver bowls, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, they were plaster, but they just got darker from all the wine. So let's take a look. So El Shri Mashkir, Bishlaim at Yain Mashkir. So the Gemara says, I understand wine would cause the bowl to become darkened. Demaya Mai Mashkir, why would water cause the bowl to darken? There was a bowl, they're both silver, they're both darkened. So I understand that there's a plausible argument with the wine, but what do you explain for the water? So came into Amar, Yira Shemayim Social Yayim, Shayal Tosh Shemayim Yatsa, Shemayim Atila Shure. So since the Tana Mishnah said it could be that if a person made a mistake, they're Yotze, so on occasion they might have poured the wine in the water one, and as a result of that, it got darkened. Okay? All right, let's see further. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right. Now, the fifth wide line. We said there were like these two spouts and went through the sheet of Rashi and the sheet of the Balei Tosfot. So the Gemara says, Lema Anitan Reb Yehudi Velo Rabbanan. Should we say that our Mishnah follows the sheet of the Tana Reb Yehuda Natha Chachamim? If not, because we learn in the Mishnah, Reb Yehuda Omer Belo Hayam Naseh Kol Shmona. He says, so he's thinking like this, that the wine was three logim. Wine is three logim. That's revit ayin liyayin. So that's three logim. According to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, water is one log. So I understand why I need a bigger spout, and I want them both to finish at the same time. So I understand if it's Rabbi Yehuda, so with this fluid, i.e. the wine, I have three logim. With this fluid, the water, I have one log. So it makes sense that one spout is larger, one spout is narrower, because I need you know, more. Right, because there's more wine than water. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, so we said our Mishnah actually follows the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. He says, because according to the Chachamim, the same amount of wine and the same amount of water, three logim of wine, three logim of water. So the Gemara says, Apilu Tema Rabbanan. You could even say that our Mishnah is following the Shita of the Chachamim. Chamer Samich Maya Kalish, because wine, like I said, blood is thicker than water, but the Gemara is saying wine is thicker than water. So it could be that even if you say it's three logim of each one, you still need a wider spout for the wine in order for it to empty out at the same, to be finished at the same time as the water. So then the Gemara says, Hachi Nami Mistabra. It's less logical that our Mishnah actually follows the Chachamim and not Rebbe Yehuda. De'i Rebbe Yehuda, Racha B'Katzar Itlay. Because Rebbe Yehuda, when he describes the openings, he describes Racha B'Katzar. So Racha B'Katzar is a bigger differential than Mu'uva and Dak. In other words, one is larger, one is smaller. But Rebbe Yehuda, when he's explaining his Shita, and he holds that there was three logim of wine and one log of water, he says Racha B'Katzar. The Tani, because we learn in the Braisa, so Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Shnei Kasva'ot Ayusham. Now Kasva'ot, he says on the side, if you look in the blurb of the source of Shas from Rosh Hashanah Berlin, in the brackets, Perish Kalim Lashon Ksoda Nasek, the Aruch. The Aruch says Ksavot are Kalim. And then I saw somewhere today, they said that Ksavot was like a tube. But anyway, he says, Shneks Ksavot Hayu Sham, Echad Shemayim Echad Shel Yayin. There were two Kalim or two spouts, whatever. Shel Yayin Pia Rachav. So the mouth of the Yayin was wide. Shemayim Pia Katzar. The water is katzar, but he used rachav and katzar. So the point, and Rashi points out, let's look at the Rashi. He says three lines from the bottom. That's the lashon he uses. Rachav mashma yeter al katzar today, bitur d'mu'uvam al meida. In other words, Rachav and Katzar sounds like a bigger differential than Mu'uva and Dak. In other words, Mu'uva and Dak means it's a little bit bigger. Rachav and Katzar are bigger still. And it makes sense within Rebbe Yehuda because he's got three times as much fluid. All right, let's wrap it up now, and then we'll do a little bit from one of the sheets, and that'll be it, and I hope people will stay for late Ma'ariv. Now, three lines from the bottom. Ma'arabo Shalmayim, we said the one in the west was for the water. So Tana Rabbanan, Ma'asibit Stuki Echad, there was an incident when one stuki who did the water libation on his feet. Everybody pelted him with their estrogim. On that day, the keren, the corner of the mizbeach, like again, there are four, you know, horns on the mizbeach, you know, protuberances on each one of the kranot, one amma by one amma by one amma. And Rashi points out, two lines from the bottom, so together with the estrogim, some people were throwing stones. So it was getting a little bit like a rough deal. What?
It's the third kind of story.
Okay. Right, I got it, right. Okay, so he says here, Bo'to ayom nifgama keren ha-mizbeach. On that day, the keren ha-mizbeach was damaged. He says, they view bul shamelach, they brought like a clump of salt, ustamu, and they sealed up like whatever the damage was. Lo mnei shuch shel avoda, not that putting the salt in makes the mizbeach kosher for avoda, el mnei shlo yireh mizbeach begom. We didn't want the mizbeach be left like it looks like a damaged mizbeach. He says, Rashi says, the kavod, it's not kavod that way. The top line, Amim Tedam and Aleph, Shekol Mizbeach, She'en lo, lo kevish, lo keren, lo yisod, lo ribua, pasul avoda. Any Mizbeach that doesn't have the kevish, which is the ram, or the keren, which are those protuberances on each corner, which is the one that was nifgam, lo yisod is the lip that goes around the base of Mizbeach, lo ribua, it has to be exactly squared off, is pasul avoda. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Meir, Afa Sove. Rabbi Sperdu says the Sove, which is like this walkway, also has to be in good shape. Now Rashi points out that whenever it says Hamizbeach, for the Gemara in Zvachim, it's Liikuva. So by each one of those elements mentions Hamizbeach. So Rashi brings down the Psukim. He says, Al Karnot Hamizbeach be Etzba Echa by the Miluim. Hamizbeach. And then in the Kevish it says, Al Penei Hamizbeach. That means the Penei Mizbeach. He says, and the Yisod says, "Lo Yisod Hamizbeach." And the Ribu or Ravu Yeh Hamizbeach. And then Rabbi Yossi holds Karkov Hamizbeach is the Sobev, and it says Hamizbeach by the Karkov. Karkov Hamizbeach. And Chamu hold no, that's really Karkov is really the cure. All right, so that's that piece with that. Okay, let me just do who, what, when, where. 144. Your picture book is very popular, Odeid. So 144. Okay. Okay. Okay, so all right, now let me just get a little bit, and then this will be it. Okay, let me just a little bit from the Daf Digest, and then we'll call it a day. So, all right, now we mentioned earlier about this dialogue between Sason and Simcha. So, then we said that Sason had this conversation with Rabbi Abahu. So he said, "Hashta the tzipa Sason mashke du gavra mashvin le gudo malina beimaya." It says, Ushatamayim bisason, so not that you'll draw water for sason, you'll draw water in sason, like using your hide. So the Beis teaches that we're using the object that is the subject of the sentence. In other words, opposed to the passing of the Kiddush people will draw water for the heretic in sason, the explanation is sason, the subject of the sentence, who himself uses a canteen to draw, to store drawn water. From Chanuch Teitelbaum, applied this principle to address the question of whether it's permitted for a man to listen to a recording of a woman singing. From the time the technology allowed a person's voice to be recorded, posing a question whether the recording of a woman's voice is included in the Gemara's interdiction against listening to a woman sing. Rav Teitelbaum noted that the language used by Chazal in reference to this issue is kol b'isha erva, kol b'isha erva. The reason Chazal wrote b'isha rather than kol isha erva is to emphasize that the interdiction applies only when the voice emanates directly from the woman. Kol b'isha, in the woman, in other words, it's got to be the woman. The reason is that when a man sees the woman at the same time he hears her voice, the combination of the visual and the auditory will generate improper thoughts. If, however, the voice is not emanating from a woman who is present and can be seen, it will not generate improper thoughts. That's what this Yad Chanuch has to say. Now, Rabbi Eliezer Deutsch, on the other hand, maintains it's prohibited for a man to listen to a recording of a woman singing. Basis of the interdiction is the concern that hearing a woman sing itself will generate improper thoughts. Thus, even if the woman singing is in a different room, it would be prohibited to recite Kriyat Shema despite the fact that he cannot see her. Similarly, the concern of Chazal regarding the general interdiction against hearing a woman sing was hearing the sound of a woman's singing voice, regardless of whether she could be seen or not. That's what he wants to say. All right. Anyway,
how did we get to
Kol
Isha here?
You weren't listening. You were busy doing
how
it.
How
were
you? What?
Because you weren't listening. You were focusing on your cell phone. It's Kol B'Isha Erva. So it says Ushafamayim B'Sason. So it's like B'Sason means with Sason. So Kol B'Isha Erva. The recorded first strike. Okay.
I want to say something. Thorin asked the question. I said it's a sin. It's wrong because Sason is actually the act, the dancing, and implies an internal.
Right, right. In Hebrew, each word has.
I didn't hear that. Can you repeat that?
Odeid says there's a difference between Sason and Simcha. So Sasoni is the dance. Sasoni says is dancing, and Simcha he says is internal. But in Hebrew, each term does have a different meaning. So I don't know. Yeah, like you say, kol sason kol simcha. What was it?
Must be two different things.
So everything's got a different meaning. Okay. All right, let me end the recording, and then we'll talk. 1 second. Did this happen?
That's why when you got up the stairs, it was simple. It was first internal.